Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Folks, it's great to have you aboard for another spine-tingling episode. And I have something unusual lined up for you here this evening. Now, there's a tendency when discussing the paranormal or the supernatural to picture wide-open spaces, vast impenetrable forests, the deepest, darkest oceans, or the expanses of our Milky Way. But not every spooky encounter happens in the vastness of the ether. Some of this phenomena takes place in rooms that we're so familiar with that we may even take them for granted. And for reasons no one's fully pinned down yet, a surprising number of encounters unfold in the bathroom. Voices in the sink drain, entities in the mirrors, shadow people in the showers, and a sense of being watched in a space where you assume you have nothing but privacy. So tonight we're taking a closer look at those stories from the busiest room in your house. The john, the loo, the restroom, the privy. Tonight's stories all take place in the bathroom. And to get us started here tonight, we begin in the state of North Carolina. Please welcome Adam to tonight's program.
Hey, what's up, Derek? This is Adam from North Carolina. So this happened to me. I was 5 years old. I mean, I still remember it, you know, clear as day. So I had one of those Ghostbusters toy sets, you know, it had the backpack and the gun and the ghost trapper. I remember I used to go from room to room in my parents' house, you know, pretending to shoot ghosts with the gun and trap them. I remember one day I went into a spare bathroom downstairs. My dad built this house. You know, nobody else had ever lived in it before. And I remember I walked into the bathroom, you know, I kind of creeped in real slow, you know, because I'm obviously trying to, you know, catch ghosts. And I turned the corner to where the toilet was, and the toilet paper roll started spinning uncontrollably. I experienced it with two senses. I saw it and I heard it. You know, I heard the cardboard toilet paper roll, you know, spinning very, very fast. And I saw the toilet paper, you know, piling up on the ground. And so when I saw this, you know, it immediately freaked me out. I ran out of the bathroom and went to my mom and I told her what happened. At the time, she was just like, oh, yeah, you know, it's probably just the wind. You know, as a five-year-old kid, you know, your mom, she just gave you the answer. I was, oh, it's the wind. Okay, got it. Cool. So I remember going back into the bathroom, and then the toilet paper was back on the roll. I mean, it was like nothing had happened. And so I didn't think about it until years later. I mean, the incident just popped up in my mind, and I was like, wait a minute. I was inside. There wasn't any wind inside, especially not the bathroom. So, I mean, that's really the only paranormal experience that I've ever had. I'm 36 now. I can't shake it. It's always kind of in the back of my mind, and, you know, it pops up from time to time. You know, just kind of wondering what that could have been, if not paranormal. I do have, I guess you call it a theory. I think that most, if not everybody, has an experience to kind of open them up to something paranormal. I believe that it's relatively early on. And then the way that we react to that first experience either kind of opens the door for us for the rest of our lives, or if we reject it, then it kind of closes the door a little bit as far as experiencing anything else. anyways, I'm a big fan of the podcast. Thanks, Derek. All right, bye.
Thank you, Adam. Now, anyone with a cat knows another explanation for these strange events. Our cats don't unroll the teepee, but I've certainly had cats over the years that have. But Adam, if you didn't have a cat, well then your guess is as good as mine. Thank you again for taking the time to call. Now gang, I think I have time to slip one more story in before our first break of the night. So please welcome Josephine, all the way from Australia.
Hi, Josephine here from Queensland, Australia. It was one of the first real ghost encounters I've had. I'm living currently in a duplex unit, and I haven't had anything weird happen here before. The energy has always felt quite good, quite clear. But just recently, I had been noticing that there were handprints on my bathroom mirror. The first time this happened, I shook it off and went, oh, I probably just leant on the mirror. But the second time this happened, I knew I hadn't leant on the mirror and I'd just cleaned it like a couple of days beforehand. And I remembered I had not leant on the mirror. I don't do that. And I put my hand up to the handprints on the mirror, and they didn't match. They were way too small. So it creeped me out and I was like, okay, I had better do something about this. So as I do, I got out my incense and I went around and cleansed the whole unit. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's done. No, it wasn't. Just the other night, I came out of the shower and I have an aerosol can sitting in quite a deep basket. I walk out of the room, I hear a clatter, and the aerosol can had been thrown from the basket. There was no way that it could have fallen out of the basket. Like, if there was a mouse or something that flipped it out of the basket, that mouse must have been the Hercules of all mice, because I just cannot figure out how that would have happened. Since then, I've had quite a few nightmares and stuff, so things are ramping up here a little bit and I need to get more incense. Anyway, have a great night. I love your podcast. Bye.
Thank you, Josephine. Tiny handprints and moving objects. It may be the Hercules of all mice. Spooky stuff. Spooky enough that you might want to add some sage with those incense. Thank you again, Josephine, for the long distance entry. Now folks, speaking of bathrooms, it's time for a little break. But be quick, because I have plenty more in store right after this.
Proposals to change the law.
Crab legs, lobster tails, and a water.
Now, if your to-do list is longer than your workday, well, you've hit the point where I've got this turns into I need help fast. Smart business leaders know when it's time to bring in reinforcements before they or their team burns out. That's where Upwork comes in. If you're overextended and understaffed, Upwork Business Plus helps you bring in top quality freelancers fast. Instead of spending weeks sorting through random resumes, Upwork Business Plus sends a curated short list of expert talent to your inbox in hours. You'll get instant access to the top 1% of talent on Upwork in marketing, design, and more. When finding talent you can trust feels impossible, it's easy to default to doing everything yourself. Upwork Business Plus allows you to delegate with confidence by sourcing and vetting proven experts so you can stop doing it all. Let Upwork handpick the best for you. Right now, when you spend $1,000 on Upwork Business Plus, you get $500 in credit. Go to upwork.com/save now and claim the offer before December 31st, 2025. Again, that's upwork.com/SAVE. Scale smarter with top talent and $500 in credit. Terms and conditions apply.
The same goes for business.
They're going to get to have a discussion about stuff they're already scheduled to discuss.
Now, on the list of items in your home you'd never expect to suddenly become haunted, I bet your toilet is pretty high up there. And I bet it was for James as well. That is, until his little experience. Please welcome James to the show.
Hey there, my name is James. I'm calling from Lynchburg, Virginia, but my story takes place in Glendale, Arizona, back in 2006, where I was living at the time. I was renting my dad's old house from him, where he had lived at for most of my entire youth. I only rented the house from him for about 6 months, but for the first 3 months, I had a friend living there with me and sharing the rent. I never really had any experiences for those first 3 months, except for one night when I was home by myself. I was sitting on the couch in the living room watching TV when all of a sudden I heard what sounded like three distinct footsteps that led from the wall where the TV was out to about where the ceiling fan was, almost directly above me. I found it a bit creepy, but I quickly shrugged it off. Well, a few nights later, when my roommate and I were both home together at the same time, we were both sitting in the living room watching TV, and I made mention to him about the sound like footsteps that I had heard. Well, not long after, almost as if on cue, the exact same footstep sound happened again. Exactly as the last time, I looked up at the fan and then I looked at him. I said to him, "You heard that, right?" He looked eerily up at the ceiling fan and he said he did. Well, that was the only experience that I had in that house during those first 3 months while my friend was living there with me. But the following 3 months while I was living there by myself, the activity definitely increased. Multiple times, I would find the light on in the back bathroom that was connected to the master bedroom when I was sure that I turned it off. You know those cloths that you drop into the tank on the toilet and it turns the water blue? Well, I used those in my toilets, and one day when I came home from work, I went to use the bathroom in the hallway, only to find the water in the toilet was completely turned red. Not purple, like as if red had been mixed with blue, but solid red, as if the blue had never been in the toilet to begin with. I was dumbfounded. I had no idea what could have caused this. I was even more perplexed when I flushed the toilet and the dark blue water came back into the bowl and the red water flushed down. Then the next day I came home from work only to find the water in the toilet bowl had turned red yet again. Well, just like the last time when I flushed the toilet, the blue water came back into the bowl and the red water flushed. That only happened twice with the toilet. 2 days in a row. I still to this day have no explanation for that one, what caused it. Then another time, I came home from work, and at the end of the hallway on the left, I found my bedroom door open ajar. This was significant not only because I lived alone, but also because I also kept all of the bedroom doors down the hallway closed whenever I wasn't home. I cautiously made my way down the hallway and took a peek into my bedroom. It was dark, but nothing looked out of place. I opened the door and turned on the light. Everything looked normal. Then I turned out the light and went to close the door. The door wouldn't close. It hit something hard and made a loud bang sound. I looked down at the floor. Nothing was blocking it, so I tried again. Bang. I looked behind the door. Nothing was there. Then I noticed it. The strike plate on the door frame had been physically bent backwards. So somehow during the day, while I was gone at work, my bedroom door opened all by itself, and the strike plate had been bent back all by itself. Well, those were the only instances I had while living in my dad's old house. I was visiting my dad at his current house one day, where he lived at the time. We were sitting out on the back patio, and I asked him, I said, "Dad, in all your years living in your old house, did you ever experience anything you would consider to be weird or something you couldn't explain?" He shot back right away with a stern, "That house is not haunted." He clearly didn't want to discuss it, and I didn't press the matter. Anyways, that's my story. Thanks for the podcast, Derek. I really enjoy listening to it. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you, James. Now, coincidentally, our editor Connor had a suggestion about James's entry. Apparently, cleaners like 2000 Flushes are known to discolor certain types of water. Other shades than just that vibrant blue that we've all grown accustomed to. So maybe that little tidbit will help you sleep at night, James. Thank you again for ringing in. And folks, if you have a tale you would like to tell, call the hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, while on the topic of toilets, in the span of a year, an individual typically uses the toilet approximately 2,500 times, which equates to an average of 6 to 9 times a day for most individuals. Now, we spend about 3 years of our lives on the toilet, and the average life expectancy of a toilet is about 50 years. And the average person uses about 57 sheets of toilet paper every day. And according to Liz, your toilet might be infested with spirits as well. Please welcome her from my state of California.
Hey, Liz from California here. I got an interesting story. First of all, I want to start by saying our family, we tend to be more on the sensitive side. Specifically me, I happen to be able to hear things and sometimes see things if they allow me to be seen. Well, on this particular night, as well as many other nights, I happen to tend to wake up at exactly 3 a.m. Yeah, you're right, the witching hour. I don't know why, it just happens. On this particular night, I happened to get up and I had the sudden urge to walk down the hallway and check on my kids. I got up, walked down the hallway, but I'm still half asleep. When you walk down the hallway, to the right, there's a bathroom, and then further down is my children's room. Well, the bathroom light was on and the door was slightly open. And when I walked past, I happened to see at a quick glance a person sitting, facing down with their head down, and shoulders dropped, hands on the side. It was my dad. I had a quick thought and said, why is my dad sitting there? Nonetheless, using the bathroom with the door open. I mean, who would do that? He wouldn't do that, especially him. So I quickly checked the kids, close the door, turn around, and look at him. And go, hey, are you okay? In that instant, he still slumped over and he just shakes his head. Yes. Didn't look at me. Didn't talk to me. Shoulders still slumped over. Hands are still on his side. And his head hanging low. In that instant, I got an overwhelming feeling of fear and just go away. Don't question it. That's exactly what I did. I said, okay. And I walked into my room, closed the door, and just turned on the light because I don't like the dark. I like to see what's in front of me. My lights were dimmed. Finally, I fall asleep. Morning comes. I'm in the bathroom getting ready for the date, and I bumped into my mother. So I asked her, hey, how's dad doing? She looks at me and goes, he's fine. Why? And I say, well, I happened to check on the kids last night and he was here in the bathroom and it's unusual what he was doing. So is he feeling sick? Quick fact, my dad's kind of on the sick side. So, you know, it was unusual pattern for him to do it if that was him. She says, yeah. Turns around, goes into room, closed door behind her. A couple minutes pass. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. She comes out, she goes, yeah, he's fine. Completely okay. He's fine. He's good. I looked at her and I said, okay, that response is weird. What's going on? And she just looks at me and says, nothing. I said, no. Something's up. What's going on? Her response was, your dad was in bed the whole night. He didn't get up. I stop and I think, what was that was sitting there and responding? Because I clearly seen it as day. the person sitting slumped over, but they never once looked at me. I don't question it because I don't want to know what it was in all actuality. I spoke to it. It responded back with a shake. I don't know. I kind of feel that if I ask what it is, I'll get a response I don't want. So I'm wondering if anybody else has had this happen to them. I would really like to know. Other than that, I hope you enjoyed my little creepy story.
Thank you, Liz. Now, what's the best case scenario here? That maybe this was all simply a dream, or perhaps a hallucination of some sort, or maybe a doppelganger situation. That sounds innocent enough. Because I don't know that we want to think about worst case scenarios, because every one of us will be thinking of that tonight, in the wee hours of the morning, when nature makes her call. A creepy story indeed, Liz. And a huge thanks to you for calling it in.
Screen, those of you who are watching, so highly recommend that it gets hot.
On the seashore. In other words,
it's hard to have confidence in a team.
All right, a show of hands. Which would be worse? A haunted toilet or a haunted shower? Please welcome Chloe, also from the state of California.
Hi, Derek. This is Chloe from Northern California. So about in 2010-ish, we moved into a new house. And, you know, my brother was little at the time, and we'd have brand new toys with brand new batteries that took a lot of effort to turn on or to make noise. And they would just go off at random times throughout the day. And, you know, you'd hear, like, footsteps upstairs. Like, and it wasn't just house-settling noises. It would sound like a man walking around upstairs, like heavy footfall. And you'd be home alone. So it was always just strange. And then, you know, things would just happen or fall. Or I remember multiple times I would, you know, get in the shower to take a shower. And every single bottle that would be lined up on the shower, it wouldn't just be one that fell. It would look like somebody just took their arm and swiped them all down at once, and all like four bottles would all fall at the same time. And we didn't have a shower curtain. It was a door, and it didn't matter, you know, which side they were on, away from the door or next to the door. Or, you know, you'd always just feel like somebody was there. It always felt very unsettling. Never felt threatening, though. It just felt, you know, somebody just was there. And then it turns out I ended up talking to somebody who knew the people who lived in the house previously. And I found out that while they were living there, their son, teenage son, was killed in a car accident. And it just kind of clicked, like, whether this was him coming home to look for his parents or, you know, his energy remaining. It clicked. And it almost felt sad. But I thought, you know, why not throw a call out there? I love the show so much, and I love the community that has been built around it. Bye.
Dead on, Chloe. It is quite the community that's assembled around the show. The Facebook group, the Discord server, the Beyond, and Instagram are just a couple of ways in which you can join us in that community. And a huge thanks to Sarah Dinsmore and John Poulos, our admins over at the Facebook group. And Sarah also keeps our Discord server afloat. A ton of appreciation to both them and all of our past volunteers. Addie, Tony, Joe, whoever else I might be missing. And another big thanks to all those listeners that keep that community going. Now, as for Chloe's story. You know, that's not the kind of place where you want to feel some sort of presence. If you don't believe me, you can ask Chloe, or you can ask Zach, because he's tonight's next willing participant.
Hey, Derek. This is Zach from Georgia. This time I have kind of a funny story. It happened in my house. but I wasn't there. It's my wife's story. My wife told me to call and tell it. This happened on two occasions where I believe we have a ghost in our house. I mean, I moved in this house in 2014. It was built in 2007. My wife, we got married a couple of years back, and she said that first time she was at the house by herself, I was at work. It was getting close to time for me to get off of work, and my wife said she jumped in the shower. And while she was in the shower, the shower curtain pulled back all the way by itself. And she said it scared the living crap out of her. At first, she thought it was me trying to scare her. Well, when she turned around, I wasn't there. She said she grabbed one of my guns and a towel, walking around the house, seeing if there was anybody there. Well, doors were all locked. Nobody was in the house. She called me, asked me where I was at. I said, I'm on my way home from work. Why? She told me what happened. Well, second time the ghost in my house, or spirit, or whatever it is, I really don't know. Don't get a bad feeling about the thing. I think it just likes to prank people, because we can be in the living room and it just slammed the door, you know, just to get somebody scared. Well, the second story was my wife, once again, she said she was in the shower. I was on my way home from work, and I'm a whiskey man, and I had just bought a couple of days before a bottle of whiskey, and I put it on top of my refrigerator. And that refrigerator, you know, I put my whiskey up there plenty of times, and nothing's ever happened to it. Well, it was a brand new bottle of whiskey, and my wife said she was in the shower once again. And she heard a loud crash. So, of course, scared the crap out of her. She decided she was going to get out of the shower and go look around. Once again, she said she had my pistol walking around the house. Doors were locked and whatnot. She walked into the kitchen and saw that my whiskey was broken, laid out all over the floor. And she took a picture of it and sent it to me. It says, your ghost apparently don't like your whiskey. And of course, I got home and I could smell it. And I pretty much told the ghost, I said, all right, you had your fun and games, but if you touch my whiskey again, you're no longer allowed in my house. And ever since then, he never touched my whiskey. And every time I bottle a bottle of whiskey, it sits right there on top of the refrigerator and doesn't get knocked off or anything. So there's two little fun stories that I figured I'd give you. Love your podcast. Have a good one.
Thank you, Zach. We've all been there. Soap on our faces, shampoo in our hair, and we hear a noise on the other end of the shower door. And you can't open your eyes, not only because they're caked in soap, but also because you're never really ready to see what might be standing there before you. But you know, in this scenario, I'm not so sure that you or your wife should be concerned or frightened, Zach. From the sounds of things, the ghosts are the ones that should be concerned and frightened, frankly. Because it's them that might end up in the afterlife, after Zach's better half and her pistol is through with them. It's hard to blame her, though. That's a vulnerable spot to be in, especially when a ghost comes calling. So thank you again, Zach, for taking the time to share this exciting entry.
Catch all the Los Angeles. Let's talk about the timeshare nightmare.
Silver ski pants, ski top, gloves.
Packed in a tiny 2-ounce box.
Now, before we fire up these next few entries, let's explore a few haunted bathrooms from around the world, courtesy of Soakology.co. Frodsham Street Public Toilets in Chester, England. There's a famous ghost that frequents these male toilets. He is said to have taken his life near the spot where they sit. The man, who has been nicknamed by locals as Tom, is said to wear clothing from the 1950s or 60s, and he suddenly appears in the corner of the room. The Bordanagar Government Primary School in Pabna, Bangladesh. Both sad and spooky, this toilet could have been the cause of a child's death. In 2015, a student of the school used the toilet, became extremely ill, and died the next day. Following her death, a further 10 children who used the toilet became ill. The school was then closed. Locals recalled that an evil spirit once possessed a palm tree nearby, and they believed that the spirit had occupied the toilet and was causing the sickness. Believe it or not, since the residents organized a ritual to rid the spirit, no further incidents have occurred. And the bathrooms in the theater, Rial, in Margate, England. This theater is full of spirits. However, the most interesting is the ghost of a little girl, who reportedly causes chaos in the toilets. She's been said to open and shut cubicle doors, unwind toilet paper rolls, and spread hand soap across the floor. There's also the Five Fishermen Restaurant in Halifax, Canada. This fancy eatery was once used as a funeral home and held as many as 2,000 bodies, including many from the wreck of the ill-fated Titanic. But it's the ladies' toilets that have the pleasure of hosting the ghost there. Diners report an angry male ghost and the ghost of a scared little girl in the restrooms. And finally, the York Arms Pub in York, England. You may have heard of the famous Grey Lady that appears around York, but there is also said to be a ghostly nun that often appears in the gents' bathroom at the York Arms Pub. She has been spotted in other pubs around the city as well, but this appears to be her favorite haunt. Or there's also the haunted women's bathroom at the Olive Garden in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, courtesy of Rebecca in the Badger State.
Hi, my name is Rebecca. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think I'm going to share the most jarring experience I've ever had in my life. This happened about 6 years ago, and I was with my husband. At the time, he was my fiance. And we went out to eat at a local restaurant. It's a chain, the Olive Garden. It is, you know, standard American Italian cuisine. And, you know, we had just had our first son, who was only 2 years old. And then I was actually pregnant with our second son. And, you know, we didn't get a lot of time away that first 2 years. So we went out to eat. We had a babysitter. I was very excited. We go to eat, and about halfway through the meal, I had to use the restroom. So I go in the bathroom, and the way the bathroom is set up, there is a door, and then you walk in, and it's a long, like, rectangle. There's the sinks on the left and the hand dryers on the right, and then there were three stalls, and they're all on the left. There is only one entrance and exit, like most bathrooms. So I go in the bathroom, and I am a weirdo. I check all the stalls before I choose which one I'm going to use. And I looked in all three. They were all empty. I chose to go in the first stall. And I knew the other two were empty because I just looked in them. I go in the bathroom, do my business. And you can see through the cracks of the stall. You can kind of see out to the rest of the bathroom. And I'm going to the bathroom. And I hear the handles jiggling on one of the stalls to my left. One of the stalls that I had already seen was empty. So that struck me as odd, but I thought maybe the door was still swinging from me checking in there. So I finish up, I'm pulling my pants up, and as I'm facing the door of the stall, a woman walks by. The bathroom door did not open. It did not open. And a woman walks by towards the other stalls that I had just heard the jingling handles. She walked by. She had long, dark hair, and she was pale, very pale. I didn't hear the door open, but, you know, I thought that in combination with the stall door jingling, it just struck me as odd. But again, whatever. So I walk out of the stall, and I look to my left. Both stalls are empty. There is nobody else in the restroom. I look in both stalls. The stall doors are open. There is nobody there. This woman walked past the stall. I could see her like she was a human, like a person, and there was nobody in the bathroom. I started freaking out. I went back out to the table and my husband's like, oh my gosh, you're really pale. What just happened in the bathroom? Are you okay? He thought I had morning sickness. You know, I was 7 months pregnant. And I was like, I think I just saw a ghost. And I relayed the whole story to him. I went back in the bathroom. Oh, and I forgot to mention, that bathroom was ridiculously cold. But a lot of bathrooms are, you know. But yeah, that was strange. I remember when I saw her walk by, all the hairs on my entire body stood up. That was another thing that just struck me as weird. Yeah, so that is the time that I think I saw a ghost. And it didn't even look like a ghost. So that was crazy. But anyway, I love your podcast. It gives me something to look forward to. So thank you, Derek. Bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. Unlimited soup salads and poltergeist. At your local Olive Garden, when you're here, you're at risk of seeing a spirit. That's my last one, I promise. Now, Rebecca isn't the only one to have an unwanted visitor outside the stall. The following anonymous submission also details similar activity.
Hey, Derek. So I have a story about a bathroom experience I had, which was pretty disturbing, and it was the most frightening experience of my life. It takes place in 2015 on a sunny afternoon in Vancouver, Canada. At this time, I was living alone in a first floor apartment. Out of habit, I always locked my front door. I'd also lock my washroom, even if I was home alone and nobody else was there. Just out of habit. So one day while I was using the washroom, I heard someone try to come in. What I mean by this is my doorknob made the sound of somebody trying the door, realizing it was locked, and then stopping after a second. So, you know, when you use like a public washroom, you go try the door, someone's in there, so you stop immediately. So naturally, I was pretty scared. I had a hard time moving. I was pretty spooked. But being a rational person at the time, after that moment of fear, I was able to brush it off as me just hearing things. So I finished my business, and then I heard it again. So this was not in my head, I decided. I decided that somebody was trying to get in my washroom, and both the front door and bathroom doors were locked. So somebody must have come in through the window. Then I realized that there were no window sounds before this. I didn't hear anybody stepping around the apartment. I didn't hear any breathing or ruffling of jackets. So I came to the slightly ridiculous conclusion of two possibilities. One, I was either losing my mind, which, you know, it's fine, it happens, right? Or there was an incredibly skilled burglar or spy in my house. Obviously, that second option is insane, but to a rational person, I guess it's more logical than a spooky ghost or something. So I heard it again. I was getting very frightened. Started messaging my friends on Skype about what can make that sound. It wasn't very helpful. I even Googled doorknob sound. Of course, the only results were ghost-related. Anyways, this went on for a solid 40 minutes. It happened a total of 7 times, and I remember writing down the exact times of these sounds on my iPhone and the notepad. I also wrote, there is no way this is in your head. Years from now, you will be able to brush this story off, but it is actually happening. You're actually hearing this. So the rational side of me knew there was someone there or I was having a mental breakdown. In either case, I felt like it was appropriate to call the police. So I called them. Then I called my mom and she came by with my brother. When the police arrived, I finally opened up my bathroom door and not surprisingly, there was nobody there. I let the police in anyways. They did some checks to make sure I wasn't high. And after they left, my mom and brother arrived. They knew this was serious because there is no way I'm the kind of guy who would pull this kind of shit, especially since they lived over a half-hour drive away. So my brother and I tinkered with the doorknob, trying to come up with an explanation. Maybe it was an insect in the knob, or mild earthquakes, or construction. It wasn't a loose knob by any means, so I don't know why it would be the only thing reacting to mild tremors. maybe something to do with magnets, who knows? Anyways, that was the most terrifying moment of my life, and to this day I don't know what happened. If there are any doorknob experts out there, I'd love to hear your opinions. I know there was somebody that made toys that came on a while ago and gave some great advice to a lady that had a toy problem. So shout out to Doorknob Pupil. Please give me an explanation for this. That'd be awesome. Thanks for the great podcast, Derek. Keep up the great work. And have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Now, you know our shower door does a weird thing if it's not 100% closed. It latches with a magnet once it hits the metal stop. But sometimes, if it's not closed all the way, the magnets don't get close enough to one another to pull it closed. So then hours later, with vibrations from us walking by and such, the door suddenly gets close enough to the magnet that it pulls it shut. So we hear the shower door close on its own, in a darkened, empty bathroom. I will admit, the first couple of times it had me on edge, but we finally figured out what was going on there, and we ignore it when it happens these days. So maybe it was something like that, caller. Some sort of almost closed situation. Maybe there was an unusual draft that day. Someone opened too many windows on the other side of the building, or wind from a rare direction. I'm just trying to help you sleep at night. Now, as our caller said, if you have any help for him, send it our way. We would love to share it. In the meantime, thank you again, caller, for sharing the story. Now, folks, don't forget to visit our merch shop this holiday season, monstersamonguspodcast.com, and click that shop tab to get your hands on all sorts of gnarly MAU-themed gear made by the most brilliant of paranormal-themed artists. Again, that's monstersamonguspodcast.com, and click that shop tab. Now for another haunted bathroom, and another visit to the Golden State of California. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Emily, and I live in the Bay Area in California. I moved here about a year ago, and last September, I encountered something that I don't quite know how to explain. So, you know, there was a lot of stress in my life going on, and I was talking to my partner about all of these stresses while I was in a diner after work, and I needed to go use the restroom. And so I went in there, and this diner is known for having some shady characters in it. And when I walked into the ladies' bathroom, there are two stalls. And in the larger stall, there was, you know, it looked like a couple of people occupying it. And I see these women, like, spraying to each other, and it looks like they're moving around the stall. And so I'm like, oh my God, there's, like, people doing drugs in here, like, whatever. I really need to go. So I get into the small stall, and I, you know, do my business, but they continue whispering, and it's very indistinct. I can't even tell, like, what they're saying or what they're talking about. I'm like, they don't even know what's going on, because, you know, they can't even form, like, coherent words. Like, I was right next to them and couldn't understand what they were saying. And I could see, like, their pant legs at the bottom. It was kind of these, like, bell-bottom jeans sort of pants and, like, kind of sneakers, kind of older-looking sneakers. Yeah, and then, you know, this continual whispering the whole time, it just makes me really angry. And I'm not a particularly angry person, and I'm not prone to anger, but this made me unbelievably mad, and I wanted to confront them and tell them, like, look, if you want to do something like this, you need to go elsewhere and do stuff like this in a different place than here. And so, you know, I'm, like, trying to, you know, rush out to, like, meet them, like, where they're at. And as I open the door, at the same time, you know, it looks and sounds like they're opening the door, I open it up, and this large stall is open. But there's no one there. The door to the bathroom that you have to, like, get into to, like, get to these stalls, that was closed. It wasn't even, like, swinging closed, and, you know, it had one of those stoppers on it, so there's a pressure gauge to keep it from, like, slamming automatically. And I, like, looked in the stall, and there's just no one. And there was just no time for these people to leave at all. And so then my anger turns into terror, and I can't explain it. And you know, I usually wash my hands, so I just, like, ran out of there. And I told my boyfriend, I was like, we gotta go. Because that really freaked me out. And it was a very unnerving experience. The haunted bathroom is something that it seems kind of silly and odd, and there aren't really any stories of people, like, you know, overdosing or anything like that in that bathroom, at least that I could find on the internet, and there aren't any stories from that diner about anyone else having ghostly experiences, so I don't know what that was, or if it was, you know, some people that were on drugs that were freakishly fast, you know, to a point of being superhuman. But yeah, that's my story. Thank you so much for your show, and thanks. Bye.
Emily, meet Rebecca. Rebecca, meet Emily. I believe you two have an experience in common. Emily's story was quite similar to the tale Rebecca just told. And you know, Emily is right. There is something inherently funny about haunted bathrooms. And we're going to touch on some of that toilet humor right after these final advertisements.
Zero prayers for a month and a half, and it's just then we're exactly here, exactly where we thought we'd be. All right, go on some more. Give me some more.
Opportunity.
Games we did here on
Now, this next one, too, is reminiscent of Rebecca and Emily's entries. Out of Scotland, please welcome Sean to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. I love the show. My name's Sean, and I'm from Scotland, a little town called Thurso, north of Scotland. I used to stay in Glasgow, but I couldn't handle the city. My experience happened when I was 10 or 11, I'm now 29. This was abroad in Ibiza. I went with my auntie and my gran. My other family members that were supposed to go couldn't go, mum and dad, etc. So we were there for 7 days, and from the moment we got off the plane to the last day, it was absolutely pouring rain every single day, apart from the very last day where the sun was splitting the skies. But we couldn't do very much because of just waiting on the buses, getting our things all packed, and the time you have to check out the room, etc. So it was pretty much a day at the hotel, soaking up as much sun as what we could. So it was getting towards the kind of end of the time there. We came in, sat in the lobby for some lunch and drinks, and I told my auntie and my gran that I was going to the toilet. So I went to the toilet, and as you walk in, you've got the sinks and the mirrors on the... As you walk in, they're on the right-hand side. The urinals are at the very back wall, and the cubicles, 3 or 4, but I'm pretty sure it was 3, were on the left-hand side. And all the doors were opened ever so slightly, so I just assumed that they're all empty. So I looked in, and just to make sure there was nobody in, so I went to the back one, opened the door, closed it, and locked it. Total silence in the toilet. So just before I'm about to start, what I assume was a little boy's moan, because that's what I heard. There was a moan, and it sounded like a little boy. And I say that just because, obviously, I'm in the boys' toilets. And what it sounded like to me was, And I knew it was in the toilet because it echoed. As soon as I heard that, I froze on the spot. I couldn't move, absolute fear. I had this feeling run through me that something's in here with me that's not meant to be. Because like I said, I checked the cubicles as I went, and I just so happened to go to the very last one. And again, the doors were open, so I just assumed they were empty. You know, and I looked through it from the gap the door was creating, they were empty, and it must have been what I thought was maybe 10 minutes. I was absolutely frozen on the spot. I could not move for fear of whatever was in with me, knowing I was there. Well, must have known I was there if it made the noise. You know, again, I'm only 10 or 11 at this point, so I actually physically had to wait for somebody coming through the door for when they came in to do the toilet. And, you know, you hear them, you make humming noises, whistling, whatever. And I waited till I knew that it was actually somebody there moving about. So I opens the door and I looks and there was somebody there. I was that scared, I never even washed my hands. I opened the door and I just went to my aunt, sat down with my auntie and my gran were. And my auntie turned around and she says, "You're as white as a ghost." She says, "Are you okay?" And I told her, "No, not really. Something made a noise in the toilet and I'm 100% certain that there was nobody else in there." She says, "Yeah, you don't look too good." I says, "Well, I don't really feel good. I was as white, pardon the pun, as a ghost. And any time that I needed the toilet for the, you know, the amount of time we had left in the hotel before we got my transfer to the airport, any time I needed the toilet, I actually made sure that I was watching the door for people going into the toilet. And as soon as I seen somebody going into the toilet, I pretty much raced to the door, done what I had to do, washed my hands and back out again as quick as I could. You know, I did think of the possibility that the doors were ever opened ever so slightly and maybe somebody had put the toilet seat down and stood on the toilet and hid herself far back where nobody could see them, you know, if it was a little kid. And, you know, they waited for somebody to come in and it just so happened to be me, you know, and they made the noise to scare me. I don't know, but I never seen anybody coming out after me. Because, like I said, I was watching the door like a hawk because I was, at this point, desperate for the toilet, but I couldn't face going there until I knew there was actually somebody, you know, in the toilet. So, yeah, that was my experience. I love the show. Please keep up the good work, and Monsters Among Us is one of my favourite podcasts. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean, for the long-distance entry. Now, I guess the sequence of events happens a lot. Someone or something occupying a stall moments after the entire bathroom is checked for visitors. And I promise we're going to hear more of that theme on our next entry. So here with a bit of that humor that was alluded to, please welcome Anonymous from Parts Unknown.
Hey, so something super strange just happened to me. I'm going to keep it anonymous because it's so crazy. And once I get started, you'll understand why I want to keep my name out of it. So this morning, I stopped by the gas station, had to get some gas for my work truck and go to the bathroom. So I go inside and I'm waiting to use the stall. Now I came in and it smelled and I distinctly heard someone going to the bathroom. Like, I heard the toilet paper being ripped. I heard other various noises that sound like someone was in there going to the bathroom. I also heard some sniffling and just movement in the stall. And I was the only other person in there. So I'm waiting. Some people come in and out. And I decide to try and open the door so that they would know I was in there waiting to use it. I go to open the door and it was unlocked. So I knock, wait a second, don't hear anything. So I open it and there was no one there. And for a second I thought, you know, am I going crazy or something? Because I distinctly heard someone in there going to the bathroom. I heard all the sounds. I even heard the toilet flush when I was the only one in there. So at first I thought, well, maybe it was the women's bathroom. So once I get done and I leave, I look to see where the women's bathroom is. And it's on the complete opposite side of the gas station. And I thought, well, maybe somebody slipped out while I was just on my phone. But when I went to use the stall, the toilet seat was cold. Not like the stereotypical cold when there's a ghost or something. Like, it was just cold, like no one had been there. There was no like place for like workers only around the men's room. It was just a bunch of like circuit breakers and stuff like that. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if I imagined hearing everything I did, but I also, you know, smelled, you know, like that someone was in there using the bathroom. I don't know. This is the first time I've ever heard of someone having an encounter with a ghost using the bathroom. So yeah, that's my story. Hope you can use it.
Thank you, caller, for that detailed entry. Yet another nearly identical tale. A ghostly occupant in a bathroom stall. A phantom flusher, if you will. And so far, all of these experiences have occurred in a public bathroom. So there's always a possibility that there was a human in there with you, and you either missed them, or they purposely snuck out. It's really difficult to completely rule out that possibility. But it becomes much harder to dismiss the experience when it occurs in a private bathroom. And for more on that, please welcome Kathleen out of the state of Arkansas.
Hi, my name is Kathleen. I'm originally from Arkansas, and this is where my story takes place. When I was about 17 or 18 years old, my oldest sister was graduating college from the University of Arkansas, and my parents and I traveled to Fayetteville, Arkansas to celebrate with her. We came in on a Friday, and then my third sister was going to come fly in that Saturday evening. So we got a hotel room. My parents got one room for themselves, and then they got a room for me and my sister, who hadn't come in yet. And we walked into my hotel room that afternoon, and there was this putrid smell. We didn't know what it was, and my dad laughed and said, oh, it's just fresh paint or some cleaning material. And then I went into the restroom, and in the toilet was a large, someone had gone number two, and they had neglected to flush it down the toilet. It had created this disgusting odor. And so, of course, I flush it, and we give my dad a lot of shit for it. Haha, no pun intended. And went about the rest of the day. Nothing weird happened. So that night, we retired to our bedrooms, my parents in their room and I in another. Again, I was alone because my other sister hadn't flown in yet. Fell asleep just fine. And sometime in the early morning, maybe 2 a.m., I'm woken up by this incredibly disturbing feeling as though I'm being watched. And I wake up, and at the end of the other bed, that's just a few feet away, is a man sitting. And he is in gray sweatpants and a gray hoodie pulled up to cover his face. And his face is like just blacked out. And he's sitting, and he's staring at me. And he's resting one hand on one of his knees and then the other hand on the bed. And usually if I wake up from a dream at night, I very easily kind of blink, recognize I'm in a room, and I was dreaming, and then I fall back asleep. And so that happened this time. I blinked, expecting him to go away, expecting it to be a figment of my imagination, and he didn't. And after a few seconds, I realized, oh my God, there's somebody in the room. Maybe it was the person who had taken the dump, and they've been hiding in the closet the whole time. So I freak out, I scream, I turn on the light, I grab the phone to call the security desk. And I look back, and he's gone. So I wasn't about to spend another second in there alone. I ran across the hall to my parents, banging on the door. You know, I'm 17, 18 years old. I'm not prone to, you know, to anxiety, to doing anything like that. That was very abnormal, and my parents recognized that. So immediately my dad rushes into my room, checks the bathroom, checks the closet, checks the windows to make sure no one had broken in. There's no sign of forced entry. It was just such a weird, disturbing experience for me. We called the front desk. We told them, and, you know, they didn't have any explanation for it. Needless to say, my dad slept in that room, and I joined my mom in their room that night. Still don't know what that was, but thinking about it now still brings up feelings of fear and knowing that was not a dream, that it stayed there, whatever that figure was, stayed there long enough for me to be fully awake and still see it. That's what creeps me out. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks a lot for the podcast. I really love it. Yeah, bye.
Thanks, Kathleen. Now, this is one of those super scary situations. Sure, it's scary because it could be a ghost of some sort. But super scary because it could be a living, breathing human being. The scariest and most dangerous of all monsters, if you want my opinion. And to be a young woman alone in a hotel room, and to open your eyes and see a stranger in your space. Well, that sort of experience is almost as bad as the little gift the intruder left behind. A phantom pooper in this situation. Now, it's an incredible tale, Kathleen, and we thank you again for taking the time to share it with us. I can promise you that stories like this will keep you on your toes next time you take a tinkle. All right, folks, that's going to do it for tonight's bathroom special. I sure hope it didn't sound like crap, but I did have a lot of fun putting these stories together. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. A Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media pages. Join us on YouTube and Discord, and leave us a rate and review wherever you can. Don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now watch our movie, you know how, BoregoTriangle.com, and join us in the beyond at MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and by clicking on the Patreon tab. Or you can simply join us directly on Patreon or Apple subscriptions, which has been down a lot lately. We're aware of it, but our hands are tied. It's an Apple issue, I'm sorry. Anyway, you can get all kinds of content for only $5 a month, and you can try it all absolutely ad-free for a full week using their free trial. So come check us out, if you dare. And come check us out on Thursday as well, because I have a brand new episode in store for you. So I hope to see you then. But for now, thanks for swinging by. Keep it spooky out there, and have yourselves a good night.